Hello and welcome everyone to our second episode of In the Streets. Today we will continue discussing the road. I'm Bella.
Matthew.
Nico.
Tashawn.
And Randy.
So since our last podcast, we've read more in the book and we've met this guy named Eli. He's like pretty strange and seems to kind of resemble what the dad could be if the dad had lost the son.
Yeah, he was a very kind of strange, but also when I first saw him as a character, I thought he was like the stereotypical movie trope of having some wise dude show up and lead them into a forest of shrooms or something like that. And
yeah.
And they just get like infinite knowledge and then they pass out or something like that.
They like tried to do that like knowledge conversation, but like it didn't fully make sense.
I think the character was kind of, I don't know, he seemed like a nuisance to me. He was very mean, is from what I got from him, and just took some of their food and left, and yeah.
That just seems like it's his, like, survival strategy.
Yeah, it seemed like he's, like, very sneaky. He don't want, like, no ties. Like, he don't want them to know his real name or nothing. So they won't be able to trace nothing back to him.
You don't want that smoke.
Yeah, I noticed that he didn't even, like, thank him. But the boy still was, like, understanding of it in some way. And that, I think that shows how, like, the interaction with Ellie shows more about the boy than the actual new character we met. With that, you could probably transition to the Marxist lens. So you want to take it away, Nico?
Love to. So in the story, The Road, we see how society has changed once everything was gone. And it's filled with everything is filled with ash now. Karl Marx, he views human history as a series of struggles between classes. And The Road is not mainly like classes, but the characters are split up in two groups based on their morals and how far they will go for their own survival. One group we see is people who go around and hunt for other people's food, you know, cannibals. And we see the two main characters, the man and the boy, who go looting for food and other supplies. There's also different reasons behind people's killings.
If I would like to step in there, or I don't know I don't know if I'd say that there's no like classes in the society. You said there are like two groups of people. I think those. Even among those groups of people, there are classes, I would say, because like we can imagine it like, okay, the people who are like part of the truck clan or whatever are like, I don't know if I want to say high class, but they seem to have a decent amount of power, right? They're like, I don't know if. I don't know, to pull from the Marxist example, you're in the USSR right now. The dad and the son are trying to escape the USSR. And then there's the KGB coming after them. It's like these people. And they have their cronies and whatever. They're also low class, right? Can I hear your take on
That's
that?
That's a very good point. Well, you can keep going with that.
I noticed that as well. I mean, there is some kind of class structure, but it's very like not like in depth from like the boy and father's perspective. And like the one of the group, we saw that women became like sex slaves, and then there are also just like enslavement in general in some of these groups. So what I think is resources is one of the biggest problems in this post-apocalyptic situation. And turning back to cannibalism, like people are forced to give up their morals. And one of the most terrifying scenes of the book is when the boy saw the infant, and it was, the imagery of it was pretty intense. Like it said, it was a charred human infant, headless and gutted and blackening on the spit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you guys think about like how tools play an effect of power or like resources in general?
You said tools?
Yeah, because some like the boy and father had a pistol. Or just resources like food and supplies in general.
Right. I mean, I remember hearing, I don't even know who it was that said it. Communism really begins to break down when there's no resources. I don't know who said that. But I think it could very well be in this kind of alternate timeline. Somehow or some way, the U.S. was like very, I guess, I don't know if we'd go full communist, but maybe part some socialism aspects and stuff like that. I think, no, this was written before like the Great Recession, so I don't know if this would really be pushing for some elements of socialism or something like that, just because like, when you enter a recession, people lose their jobs, people really want assistance from the government. But like, I completely lost my train of thought there. Right, so like after the apocalypse, it could be that if they were communist or socialist before, like they really got screwed. So speaking about the apocalypse, let's bring this into the modern day, or I don't know if it's that modern. I got a lot of Mad Max vibes from this book. Is anyone else in this camp as well?
Yeah, a little bit.
Max mainly focused around cars, but yeah, no. Go ahead, Bella.
You can continue.
I mean, I didn't really read the book. I'm going off of the movie. Wasn't it like just people fighting with these super, like I don't know, just beefed up cars with spikes and got the machine pistols and stuff on it.
Yeah, like when the truck or whatever drove by, I kind of imagined it as like a Mad Max, one of the trucks from or cars or whatever from Mad Max.
I could see that. Yeah.
I'm wondering if this book or if. Yeah, I'm wondering if this book was actually inspired by it or if it did inspire any subsequent Mad Max movies.
When did Mad Max come out?
There were multiple ones. Okay. So we have like the first one was in 79. Mad Max 2 was 81. But then like the most recent one was like 2015. So that was after this book came out. But it does have the same tones, kind of like post-apocalyptic. There's no resources. People kind of getting enslaved and stuff like that. Like, I think in the movie they have people be like, I don't know if they're cannibals, but they have people being enslaved for they literally just taking their blood.
Okay. So there's like very similar undertones, but it's different still.
Yeah.
Yes, of like this book, since it was written in 2006, it's still like modernly new. But I think in like the apocalypse was caused more of a like volcanic eruption, because it's like ash everywhere, and then like it was people that was burnt and the city was burnt enough. So I'm guessing it would be a volcano instead of like a nuclear war, because nobody was like focused on mass or anything.
Yeah, wasn't there like a scene where they like passed by people who I think died where the apocalypse started, where they were all like frozen in like ash kind of?
They were frozen in time, and like as I was reading that, I'm like, this seems like a very close depiction of what Pompeii was after Vesuvius erupted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to go listen to the song, obviously.
Yeah, I found one quote on page 190. It said, in the 2 days' time, they came upon a country where firestorms had passed, leaving mile on mile of burn. So that's really sound like a volcano.
Yeah, firestorms. I wonder if that's like... what firestorms could mean.
Probably once the volcano erupted, it seemed like it was raining fire.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
That is a hellish landscape right there.
Yeah.
If it was a volcano that caused all of this, I just want to know, like, where are they located at currently? Like, what place has a volcano nearby? There's a couple. I'm just like wondering, where do you guys think they're at?
I mean, if they're anywhere in the U.S., if Yellowstone went off, the entire United States is gone, except for maybe Alaska.
Yeah, they are in the U.S. Because I know when they were walking, they said a town name that was, if you looked it up, it was the U.S. I think they said they passed one of the landmarks.
The mile markers on the highway?
Yeah.
You see that a lot. You never notice them until a car breaks down. Although I guess they're always breaking down. I don't know.
Should we talk a little bit about the feminist lens in the book?
Yeah, let's go into that.
There's not like a lot of women in the book. Like the times women are mentioned is rare. And one of the big time is like the women on the truck. And we see them kind of like in like they're captured. They don't have much free will. They seem to be like sex slaves there, which kind of questions if there's any power for women in the society. Also like, other than the truck, we see the wife who is dead now, not longer like surviving, and she also is just sitting there afraid of being on those trucks. And then the last woman we see is the one who cooks her infant child, and we don't really like get much interaction with her. Do you guys think there's like not a good survival chance for women, and like why?
Like, I don't know if survival chance is like the best word there, because I think in most regard they'll probably be alive just because they're being like kept by these trucker dudes or whatever. I don't know what they exactly are. They haven't been giving a name yet, have they, or like a title?
I don't think so.
Like, you know, they're when assuming that, you know, this society has resorted to cannibalism, I guess they're not gonna, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of them, and they need to be used, well, in theory, need to be used for baby making, like, I don't know if they're gonna eat them or not, like they would if they come about, the boy and the father.
I feel like they wouldn't, I feel like they're not eating the, people on the truck, but I don't know where they're getting the food to feed everyone on the truck.
I wouldn't say it would be better if they weren't eaten or not, considering their current situation.
Also, do you guys think the story would change a lot if it was, like, the wife and the son, or a father and a daughter? Or a wife and a daughter?
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange dynamic, like, to transition from father and son to father and daughter. Because the trope is that, like, the son is trying to get kind of more independent, and the trope is, like, the daughter has to come back to the, like, come back to a dad or something like that.
Yeah.
At least the movie trope is.
And, like, they seem to be following the trope for the son.
Yeah. I think a connection to The Handmaid's Tale could be made here with Offred and how she's exposed to Gilead. And later in the book, she becomes, like numb to what Gilead has done to her. And this is similar to, like, the boy, where, like, after being exposed to all these horrors of society, like, he still cries, but then, like, after a while, you could see that the way he reacts is different from what he would react in, like, the first interaction with him.
He's definitely, like, getting numb to, like, the society. Yeah. Also, another thing with The Handmaid's Tale was how, like, the women in that society kind of wanted to have daughters. I mean, wanted to have sons instead of daughters because they had, like, a chance to get power. I was thinking the women on the truck would also want the same thing, because men seem to be leading the truck society.
Yeah, I mean, if they can manage to seduce one of the men on there.
A few of them were pregnant.
Yeah, they could probably get a decent amount of influence that way.
Yeah.
All right. I think that just about covers what we had in line for today.
So, thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of In the Streets. We will see you next week. Skin, there is a violence. It's got a gun in its hands. Ready to make, ready to make, ready to make sense of.